those good words on this Epiphany Sunday. Today's first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Listen for the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, and they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who is born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that these words and the words of my mouth will enter our hearts, that they would find home there, that you would bring your light upon our lives in every way possible. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, a few years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, it's kind of hard time, as you may know, flies. So about 15 years ago, I was working at Advent United Methodist Church, which is in Simpsonville, South Carolina, a small suburb of Greenville, South Carolina. Well, it was small when I got there. This church, when I had arrived, had about 250 members, and when I left, had about 1,600. You see, that area, BMW came in, Michelin came in, it exploded with new people moving into that area because of the business. There were many, many young families that moved into that area at this time. And so at the church where I was working, I was the director of music ministries there. We had three children's choirs. They were divided by grades. And they were all directed by a volunteer in the congregation, usually a member of the adult choir. And we would have all kinds of different things that they would do. But at Christmas, we would come together. And we would do a musical that was based on the Christmas story as it's found in Matthew and in Luke. Well, you know, sometimes you have certain memories. I've already told you about the memory, Christmas memory I had about the year that the Christmas tree fell in the middle of the service with a great crash. Luckily, nobody was hurt. If you didn't hear that story before, nobody was hurt. But this memory also is seared into my memory. That we were there doing this children's musical. And about two-thirds of the way through the musical, the shepherds will arrive with the sheep. Well, the sheep were made up of the youngest of those children's choirs, the preschool mostly, so a couple of kindergartners, but mostly a bunch of preschoolers, and their parents had made their costumes. They were white sweatsuits, and they had glued cotton balls all over the white sweatsuits. I mean, you probably see what's about to happen, don't you? Well, so they all come in, and we watch the sheep arrive, and everything's going really well until suddenly some of the sheep begin picking the cotton balls off of the other sheep and throwing them at one another. And I'm thinking to myself, please, please, please let the wise men come quickly. Because I really wanted to have the disaster averted. So, but then the wise men show up. Of course, they're holding their gold spray-painted containers to look like they're bringing their gold and frankincense and myrrh. And luckily, we were able to avoid having some completely defrocked kindergartners as our sheep. You know, it is a story that many people know very well. And in this particular instance, we often focus on the three gifts. We sometimes think that there were three wise men because there were three gifts. We really don't know how many there were. Our song, We Three Kings, also makes us believe that there were three. But the reality is we don't know. But this year, as I really was reading and rereading this text, what stood out to me was a repeated word that I had not noticed before. It's a word that you actually find in the beginning and in the middle and then again at the end of this text. And the word we translate as homage. You may also have seen it translated as worship. So it's this Greek word. You knew eventually I'd go back to my Greek, didn't you? Proskuneo is the Greek word. And it's translated as pay him homage. It was commonly used to be this custom of prostrating oneself or at least kneeling at the feet of the king or of some ruler. There's often other places in the New Testament where it is translated as worship or as kneel. Matthew tells us that the wise men journeyed from the east and that they were looking for this newborn king. These wise men were only known for their wisdom, but they were also known for their ability to read the stars and to interpret dreams, to know about the ancient prophecies, and to try to discern what they all meant. We do know that they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. And we know that they were most likely from the region of Babylonia. And that is actually significant because it was, if you remember, the Babylonians who had conquered the Jews, had razed Jerusalem almost 6 centuries earlier. And now descendants of those Babylonian victors were traveling to Jerusalem to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews. Well, they had followed this star all the way to Jerusalem. You know, there are lots of stories. I could write an entirely different sermon on these, on the theories of the star. But what we do know is that they had endured a long, harrowing journey of over 1,000 miles through severe and often dangerous terrain. And remember, what travel for them would have been like is very different from what it means to us. 1,000 miles is months and months of travel. And they were traveling to worship Jesus, the newborn King of the Jews. And they followed this star all the way to Jerusalem. Well, they've arrived here, and they ask, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. There's that word. The first time we see it, we have come to pay him homage. This journey to Jerusalem is a journey for them of faith. They had to give up everything that they had where they came from. They have to be gone for months and months and months. And they've given themselves utterly and completely to this quest, to this journey. They're seeking what they believe to be the King of the Jews, what they have read about in prophecies, and they are stepping out in faith to try to find him. But here they have stopped in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, this center of power, not only for political power, but also for religious power. For in Jerusalem was where the temple was located. But also, here is Herod. And that is who they begin to talk to. And they ask Herod about this expected King of the Jews. You notice that we are not told that they paid homage to Herod. And this is one place where you would have expected them to pay homage. But we do not hear that. But what we do find out is what is Herod's response when they ask him this question. Scripture says, Herod was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. I had also never noticed that it was all of Jerusalem with him that was scared. Well, why? Why did this strike fear in the heart of Herod? Well, for Herod, if there is a new king who can inspire even foreigners, not Jewish people, but foreigners to come this far on this much of a strenuous journey to an unknown location on the faith that they will find him to pay him homage, this new king that would inspire that much dedication from those who do not know him yet, that is a threat to his power. That is a threat to all of his established political powers. You know, right then, Herod could have chosen to arrest the Magi. He could have even had them executed for insurgency, for he was the king. So to come seeking another king. But that is not what he did. You know, he's really too crafty for that, too clever. After all, they're not the biggest threat to him. The bigger threat is the one that they are seeking. So even though Herod, the earthly king, is not likely to pay homage to anyone, much less a baby, he instructs the wise men to search diligently for the child, and when they have found him, to let him know, so that he might also pay them homage. That's the second appearance of this word, the exact same word. But you know what? He sends them off. He sends them out as spies and orders them to return to him. And this second use of homage is duplicitous and ironic. Herod really does not intend to worship or to kneel or to prostrate himself before this baby, before this new king. And one might think that the wise men, we call them wise, would pick up on this. One might think that they would be wise to the ways of worldly power, that they might be wise to realize that Herod was not being truthful, but was acting in his own interest. After all, they are wise men, but they did not pick up on this. Scripture just tells us that when they heard the king, they went out and they followed the star until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when it stopped, Scripture tells us they were overwhelmed with joy. They haven't even seen him yet. And they're overwhelmed with joy. I can only imagine how they felt as they realized that their long journey was actually not in vain. There had to have been moments when they questioned what they were doing, as we all do on our journeys of faith. Moments when we question, am I crazy? What am I doing? There had to have been moments as they were on that strenuous terrain when they thought to themselves, perhaps we should just turn back. But they are overwhelmed with joy, for they know that this is a valid journey, this journey that they have been on. And here we find the third use of this word, proskuneo. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt and they paid him homage. I do want to pause for just a second to point out that all of our Christmas pageants, like the one I directed at Advent United Methodist Church, we have a noble attempt to teach the whole story, to tell the whole story, and very often we have very limited resources, which is why we spray paint boxes. But we often, though, misled this scene a little bit because we often think that the wise men arrive on Christmas Day, right after Christ was born, and that the shepherds are on this side and the wise men are on this side. But there are two things in this scripture passage that tell us that the visit of the wise men is actually later. First, there's this word that's used for Jesus. It is not the word that was earlier used for Jesus, is translated, which means baby. But this one is a different word, and it means child, kind of a word like we would use for toddler. And so Matthew, who does not talk about shepherds at all, we find that in Luke, this word is different. Here in Matthew we read, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother. No mention of a stable, no mention of a manger, no mention of the location, except that it tells us they saw that on entering the house. That's the second thing that tells us that it is a little bit later in his life. And while this timeline might be important, what stood out to me this week and what might be of interest to you was this. When they saw the child with his mother, they knelt down and paid him homage, and then they gave their gifts. Only after this act of worship, only after giving themselves completely to Christ, do they present their material gifts. They don't present the gifts first in order to gain favor or to show their dominance or to show their wealth, to show their position, to show their power. No, they prostrate themselves. They express their relationship to Christ by kneeling and offering homage, proskuneo. They recognize that Christ is King of all and give themselves utterly and completely to Christ. And after paying homage, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they are warned in a dream, and they realize Herod's deceit, and they turn and they go home by another way. You know, when our children were little, we actually began a tradition of each having three gifts under the tree because the wise men gave three gifts. Don't tell my kids, but perhaps we got that wrong. Perhaps it should have been four gifts, because it turns out that the Magi's fourth gift, paying homage to Christ, might in fact be the most important gift. So on this first Sunday of the new year, I invite you to consider what the wise men teach us about Christ. Perhaps we can ask ourselves, how do I seek Christ? How do we seek Christ? What am I willing to do so that I might be in Christ's presence? You know, the wise men traveled to a land far away where they were foreigners, and they trusted in God's word and prophecy. They left behind all the comforts of their world. We can only imagine how difficult their trip might have been. Perhaps we can pause to consider what elements of this world might be seeking to pull me away from Christ, to lead me in a different direction. Herod sought to mislead the wise men, to use them for his own purposes. God led them to realize this, and so they changed their course of action. And we do not know, but I would not be surprised from what we know about Herod if they didn't face the wrath of Herod for their doing so. Perhaps on this first Sunday of the new year, we can pause to wonder, do I recognize Jesus when he appears? And if I do, am I willing to pay him homage? Am I willing to offer four gifts? Especially, am I willing to offer the gift of myself? The wise men's faith helped them to know Christ, and their immediate response was to pay him homage, proskuneo, to worship him. The wise men offered themselves first, and then the gifts that they had carried with them for so long. You, like me, may sometimes wonder what gift I could possibly give to Christ. We forget that the gift that Christ desires is not really the first three gifts, but the fourth, the gift of ourselves. And as I thought about these gifts, I was reminded of the final verse of one of my favorite Christmas carols. The verse goes like this: what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. And now I invite you to stand with me and join our voices in singing these words of faith, hymn number 36, In the Bleak Midwinter.